Hey, Father, we thank you again for your kindness to us that has been manifest in this last hour. Under the praise of the glory of thy grace, Lord, for herein we know that you have loved us, as we have never known previously, because this was that hour that surely the grim reaper would have reaped the earth, but his hand has been held until Elijah came and was able to turn the hearts back to the fathers. We perhaps don't understand every single thing about this, but we believe it, Lord, that this has been accomplished, and we are grateful for it. It has been accomplished unto us, and for us, and in us, and we are therefore, Lord, established in Thee, and not in ourselves and in anything else, but in Thee and Thy goodness. So we praise You tonight, Lord, and ask You to bless us, and whatsoever we study of Your Word, may it be of Thee. Help us, O God, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, you know, we said tonight, same as last Wednesday, that we can continue looking at Scripture according to what your questions are, or some of your thoughts are. And I'm very glad to do that. If I can be of any help, I don't know that I can, but then we just never know. So we'll just put the meeting open for your various thoughts or questions that you have. And who's going to be the first one? Or what is the first question? Okay.
In the First Thessalonians there, the Lord descended with the shout.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I know you went through the preaching and went through the note shout and went through the voice of the trump, but you didn't go a whole lot into those that I can remember. Did you go into those?
No, you mean as to take them by Scripture. No, no, I never took too much by Scripture, but let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll look at this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So you've got two groups, living and dead. The living sorrow not as others which have no hope. And that's an earnest expectation. If you don't expect anything, you get nothing. Or you get something that you weren't expecting, and that's worse. So, you know you're going to get something. All right, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth. The literal rendition is bring forth with Him. And I think my understanding there is that God is going to perform a resurrection upon the people as He performed upon Jesus, as He did when He brought the dead out of the graves in Jerusalem. Now, that's my understanding, what He's saying there. And then He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And this preaching is something like Brother Branham's. Thus saith the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the presence. That's the actual coming and remaining of the Lord shall not prevent. Brother Branham said hinder. Really, he was just looking at a synonym there. I think he was had gone back in his mind, really, to where this word is prevenio, which means go before, which if something was ahead of you, it would be hindering you. But it really isn't the actual meaning of it. Prevenio means to literally go before. And the actual Greek is take precedence. Shall not prevent, if you want to use that, them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain under the shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Brother Branham said that in the rapture tape that Jesus does all three in descending. And he says the shout is the message. And we are more than convinced that the message was what he was to deliver. And as he says in this quote that I bring you so very many, many times, I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. So, also, we know the Greek affirms that this is not said to be the literal voice of the Lord. And this, of course, then brings you to Scripture. What voice could it be? Well, there's only one to qualify, and that is a prophet. Now, that's pure and simple. Now, anybody else can say what he wants. So, well, now, brother, sister, it's going to be a great cherubim. It's going to be a whole flock of cherubim or, you know, angels or this or that. They can say what they want, and they're liars. Now, I'm known for my bluff language, and it gets me in a lot of trouble. And I'm not in a mood tonight to be nice. And I don't intend to be. I have not a nice bone in me when it comes to being off this word as William Branham taught it. It's a prophet. Pure and simple. Because God is not going to change his names for his ways for a bunch of stupid theologians. He never has and he never will. Too many people are like the Sanhedrin. They think they instruct God. And ain't no such animal. God is in the listening business, provided you are talking to him on his own terms. And those terms are laid out in the Word. So this has to be a prophet. And if it's a prophet, then you've got to follow how a prophet gets a revelation. God comes to him. Now we're talking especially in terms of word. All right. We know that prophets can have dreams. God can speak in dreams. We know that God can speak in visions. And God does. But remember, God says in Numbers, with my servant Moses, it is not so, but I speak to him even apparently, face to face, which is lip to ear. Now, we also know that Jesus is mentioned in the book of Acts, the third chapter, is coming back to this earth. But before he can come back to this earth, something's got to happen. That's Acts 20, not 3 and 20. Even God shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed, proclaimed in advance, and so on, whom the heavens must keep there until the times of restoration. Of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Now that's talking of the one that we know to be called Jesus, who is the Christ, born of Mary, who is in terms told to be that Logos that became flesh. I didn't say that God became flesh except in a very indirect way there. You have to just leave that sit. Now, that's the Logos. And it says, him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, that's great. The question arises, when, if ever, did he say all things? He never did. Now, big mouth preachers, especially my favorite kind, women, and Mary excluded. They took her papers away, so she's secure. When she got married to Bill, she had to throw her papers away. You notice that papers weren't weren't even burning, were they? The paper couldn't even start a bonfire. Now, they're not fireproof. All right. God, in many parts and many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom is the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, notice it doesn't say he stopped talking. They said he got set to take the world over. Now, if you know anything about politicking, and his politicking is what? The gospel. He's never going to quit talking until he takes over. Yeah, people get messed up. Lord, have pity. Thank God for a prophet, I tell you. Thank God for God. Now, him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he shall send you. He's not stopped talking. You hold your finger there, and let's go back to John. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. Wonderful. Turn back to John 14. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Wonderful. Keep that in your minds. Go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. All right. Verse 9. No, verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he sent up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, to perfect the saints, for the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Under the measure of the stature of Christ, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I don't know for sure that's pneuma, but just pretend it is, it won't hurt us any. And pneuma is spirit. But you'll be carried by one spirit. What spirit? Jesus spirit. Okay? You follow what I said. I have many things to say to you. The Holy Spirit will say them. He's going to come back and take my place. Because I am the Spirit and flesh. That Logos. Now, I'm coming back and I'm going to use the ministry. Okay. Galatians. First chapter, 11th verse, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The pillar of fire came down and taught it. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 36, what came the word of God out from me, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, I have not seen nor heard. I mean, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also I, Paul, speak. Not we. That's the editorial we. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches. Well, how do you mean that? Well, I mean it from verse 1. I, brethren, came not you with excellent speech. I came. Not we came. I came. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. You have the pillar of fire right there. Testimony of God, testimony of Jesus is the actual data. Scriptural information and fact. My speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and the power. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom and the power of God. All right. You're looking at a prophet with a priesthood. No difference. God doesn't change. The word came to Moses, who interpreted the word, gave it to priesthood. The priesthood was responsible for the word. God used prophets. Okay. Back to 1 Thessalonians then. The voice of God is a prophet. Now, what we want you to realize is that this scripture is insufficient in itself to give the definitive revelation outside of a prophet. But once the prophet gives the keys, it is not difficult to begin to see what each portion of this is. Okay, let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now remember I read, we which are alive and remain. Remember I read, God is going to bring forth the dead. Okay, unto the Ephesian church, those full of the Holy Ghost, the only ones that have the hope of the resurrection, the only ones that have the hope of the dead coming out of the ground and consorting with them until they're taken up are people like this. Now, we know that they've got the Holy Ghost. Paul says so. Now, notice, wherefore I also, after hearing your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention to you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His possession in the saints. Or let's read the inheritance, what's passed down from Father and Son. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. Now that's the resurrection. Now, it tells you here the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout. It tells you, let's go look at it. Forget every point. With the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Now it is telling you here that the dead are going to come forth. Now, He tells them that He has got something for the dead, the living and the dead, and this is what He's telling the living. He said, God is going to bring forth those dead. Over here, He said, God is going to bring forth a revelation, then God is going to bring forth the dead. So that's what you have to watch. Then it says, and set Him at His own right hand. That's the rapture. You have three things mentioned in Ephesians. You have three things mentioned in Thessalonians. In Ephesians, it's revelation, right? Resurrection, rapture. Now, over here, it tells you in Thessalonians that don't you worry. God is going to raise those dead. Then we which are alive and remain at the time of the presence of the raising of the dead and you're alive, there are three things that happen. One, the Lord Himself descends, so He's present. The Lord Himself descends to raise the dead because He's got to be present. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Now that's talking about this resurrection, not the one that's past. Because Paul said, some of you claim the resurrection is past. Well, the first part had passed. This part hasn't passed. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are at his presence. So, he's going to be present with the living and the dead. Now the revelation comes to the living. The resurrection comes to the dead. See? Now, with the resurrection, hand in hand, comes immortality to the living. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Well, okay. And you don't sow that body that should be, but you just sow the seed. Now, verse 50. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, you know that. Now, what was the preface to the kingdom of God? Just hold your fingers there. Go back to the book of Matthew. Go to the 16th chapter. Verse 28. There be some standing here that shall not taste death, they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Verse 2 of 17th chapter. Was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. All right? That's the kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit it. So they've got to get glorified. So therefore at the time of the voice of the archangel, due to the processes of the shout, because that's what they are getting, which in turn brings about their resurrection. They will be changed. They'll be all caught up to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. So therefore, once you get the keys, it is easy to see that the shout is the message. The voice is the resurrection. And the trump is the summoning to the wedding supper. And we're all caught up at that particular time. So therefore, what you have to know is what Brother Branham said about the Bible. It's literally a jigsaw puzzle. Now, no one likes to be irreverent and say that God had a jigsaw puzzle. Well, what if he did? You know, we're a little nicer than God. I've been telling you for a long time I am, but I haven't got anybody convinced because no one's come up here to take my shoes off and kiss my toe. That's about as much as I'd allow. Because I'm a very wonderful person, and you get that close, that's enough. Isn't it strange how that man will go to church and hear a sermon and, oh, we're so unholy. Oh, we're so needy. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And watch out there, Lord, we're going to tell you how it's done. Yeah. Oh, they're so nice. They can't wait to commit spiritual adultery. I don't have much use for people, you know, per se. I've got pretty raunchy, pretty flaky, I guess, these last few years. How in the world can you have respect for anybody or anything that does not admit to a vindicated personage? William Branham told us the truth. The Bible is a jigsaw puzzle. And I was putting some of the pieces together for you now because the entire picture of what happens has never been told until this hour. Now, like a jigsaw. Now, here's the thing that I want you to watch and rejoice in with me if I can get it across to you. There is nothing in this book that needs to be added to. But revelation of some of it is missing. The ability to bring together the scripture that is part of the revelation in the sense as to its complete necessity and purity, so that the revelation is the revelation of God, and that that doctrine would be the word of God concerning that thing. It's all here. Now, as Brother Branham said, Jesus came according to Scripture, but not according to their interpretation. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is this. Let's say it's all here because it is all here. But remember, it is like it says here, in many parts and in many ways. So Paul is teaching the complete subject. The Holy Ghost is teaching every complete subject, but in a way that if you take one piece of your jigsaw, which means misplacing, misinterpreting, misrepresenting, leaving in, taking out, putting in, and these various things that can be done, it is no longer legitimate. Now, all through the ages since Luther, when the word fell on the ground and the bride fell on the ground and died, there has been coming back a truth, but it is still jigsaw truth. Now, every component part of a jigsaw fits in the prerequisite or the pre-required place by the eye that can see it where it fits. And when the jigsaw is finished, you have a complete picture. That's what happened under the seals. What was left out or not able to be filled in? What was askew? What had been added? Ignorantly, perhaps, but didn't belong there. The prophet came, and when he got finished, we had a perfect revelation for this hour, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. Now, that's how we treat the subject of the rapture under Brother Brown's ministry. We know that what he said is the truth. We know that the message is the shout. We know that the voice is the resurrection. We know that the trumpet is the calling to the wedding supper. So therefore, all we have to do is read our Bibles. And every time you find any scripture at all that refers to anything which would be placed in the category of, behold, I show you mystery, we shall not all sleep. We say, hey, that belongs in 1 Thessalonians. I would not have you ignorant, my brethren, you that are living, concerning them which are asleep. What does he say here? What does he say here? Well, they go together. Now that the prophet gave us the key, there is no trouble. Now what you do from now on, you just search your Bible. And as you read, you're going to find more and more of this will come together. See? Because it runs into continuity. Now for me to absolutely tell you how the voice is the voice of the resurrection, I don't have to go any further than John 5 and John 11. Those two chapters. I don't know if I can even find the verses where they belong. Remember, Job says, he will call and I will answer. So you got that. Now, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. Now notice. Verily, verily, I say, the hour is coming and now is. Now, he absolutely, there was a resurrection. Jesus came out of the grave, they came out with him. There's your voice. 28. Marvel not this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That's 2,000 years later. It's the same voice. John 11. There's your key. 26. He that liveth and be shall never perish. Do you believe this? And then way down, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Loud voice. What did it? A voice. Now, Brother Branham categorically says Jesus was God when he raised the dead. What voice was it? God's voice. How does God have a voice? Well, he can have a voice as nobody on earth used his voice when God called him out of the grave in the first part of the first resurrection. Now, some people say Brother Branham's got to come back and he's got to call the dead out of the grave. I don't believe that. God's going to call him out. As far as I'm concerned, this is what happened here. It happens over there. So, therefore, we see that the voice is bringing the dead out. All right? What's the third thing? Well, there's only one thing left. That's rapture. What's that? That's trumpet. Now, I haven't looked anywhere for trumpet. Be honest with you. I suppose I can. Just haven't bothered, I suppose. Hasn't been impressed upon me. But maybe one of these days I'll go ahead and start looking at it. And just see all those that have to do with trumpets. But remember, trumpets are very, have very wide range application. They're made for announcements. They're made to declare war. They're made to get attention. Look in the, under the sixth seal, the trumpets. And you'll see very much there that I'm not prepared to go in tonight because I haven't any study in it. Made no notes on it. So that's how you look at this. And that's about as far as I can take you on that. Because those are the three things there that stand out. You saw number one, absolutely. It's not his own voice. Number two categorically is. Because he is the chief messenger. God always was his own messenger. Who came to Moses? God came to Moses. Who came to Adam? God came to Adam. So we have God coming. And it all lines up very nice with Scripture, okay? Anything else you want to know concerning that? Well, no, he mentions the bride raises the dead. But I can't give you the exact quote on that. But I believe that has to do with the fact that they without us cannot be made perfect. That something is transpiring in a bride. I don't see any way that they can come out of the ground until the shout has thoroughly worked its course because, let's face it, let's go back to the book of Malachi and see for ourselves. It says here, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So, the people that are being exposed to this message will absolutely have to come to a place where death can be swallowed into victory. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 again on that. I want to show you something I didn't bring out the other day. I thought I might have leave it until Sunday, but now you brought it up, we'll just cover it today. The other folk can get the tape. Now, he says here, how are the dead raised up? Verse 36. What body they come? Well, they gotta die. Then they're quickened. And they don't get the same body, they get another one. They come in a glorious body. Verse 42. The body sown in corruption. Raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown in natural body, raised in spiritual body. Sown in natural body, yeah, there is a natural body, a spiritual body. Then it says here, Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, you got to get a change because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, yet they've got to be bodies. They're not going to be spirits. They just can't be seed. They've got to be clothed seed. Neither corruption, incorruption. So he tells you the kind of bodies. Now I'm going to show you mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. King and I, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, the dead raised in trumpet. Now notice that this dead here is being raised at the last trumpet. Well, as we know that it's a voice that raises the dead. So this is a period of time. The last trumpet is the trumpet of Revelation 10 and 7. And we shall be changed. For this corruptibility must put in corruptibility. This mortality must put in mortality. So when this corruptibility shall put in corruptibility. And this mortal put in mortality. In other words, the dead are out of the ground, that's taken care of. We are changed, that's taken care of. Then death is swallowed up in a victory. Now, my own thinking on this subject is this. Although it is true that death is swallowed up
in a victory that is like a conclusion. How do you stop death until, first of all, you get a victory? That is my conclusion. So my understanding of this scripture here, and I know nothing that Brother Branham says that disagrees with it. If there is, I'd like to find it. But I believe right here is why he said that the bride brings about a resurrection. You'll have to get that quote to get it exactly right. I just can't give it exactly right. I don't know where to find it, to tell you the truth. This moment, my mind's a blank. There's nothing in the... My mind's a blank anyway. If I could see something here. Sometimes I write these things in the Bible. Now, we'll get the quote for you, though, around. My idea, understanding on this is that before death can be stopped, it's got to be swallowed up. And I believe, as I've been teaching, that what has happened and is happening through the creativity of the revealed word as concerning our own physical corruption. There's something going on right now where the cells in the body that went down are being brought back new. Ours are not simply being brought back like Abraham. There's a change. So that this stops us literally from dying. Something is set in. And of course, on the other hand, if you don't like that understanding, you can go to the place where as soon as God raises the dead, all right, that means that death has got to be called back from a bride, because she's got to go too. But then again, you see, that would obviate for me the understanding of Scripture that, behold, I send you Elijah, and if he didn't come and turn the hearts back, then what he would have to do is destroy every righteous person, then have a resurrection. But God cannot destroy the righteous with the wicked. So therefore, how righteous are these people under the seventh seal? Well, they become the spotless virtuous bride, the spotless virtuous son of God. And I can't see anything but what I teach on this subject. Every place I go, my mind goes right back to what I teach. Oh, death, where is your sting? Well, these fellas that came out of the grave already were stunned. But they could say, what good did it do you? All we did was go to a better place. Ha, 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 ha. Well, little kids' games are fine. I don't mind. Say ha, 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 too. It's fine. But what about the sting of death for the bride? How come she doesn't get stung? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. What happens? Well, if God doesn't absolutely take over to abrogate, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's got to come under the seals, which is thunders, which is the word. And there again, Brother Branham said, once he said there's light, he said that was just a word. Once the light came, that was reality. Who needed a word? You didn't need it. Now today, we're under reality. Sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it tells you right there. His brother Branham said, we don't know how he's going to do it. We know he's going to do it. Well, you better believe we know he's going to do it. And our understanding right here, according to what he taught, is in a measure we do know how he is going to do it, in the sense that we're under that, which is the word, which brings it to pass. So, that's what I look at. All right, anything else? That's a half an hour right there. That's all right. We're not going to stay too late. Turn your heat down there, Willie. Roll that thing back. Going to have me frying up here. Thank you, son. Appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Caught up. Well, I tell you what. I believe that you kind of go back to Acts, the first chapter there, and see how he got taken up. Now, these are regular clouds we're going to look at here, as far as I know. Verse 10, while they looked at, verse 9, when he spoke of these things while they beheld, he was taken up on the cloud, received them out of their sight. Now, that cloud could have been the same kind of cloud that he came in. 30 miles high, is it, and 26 miles across, or 26 miles high and 30 across? What was it? Anybody remember? Well, it's one of the two. How many? I think it was 26 high is what he really said, yeah. 30 across. Alright, 26 high and 30 across. Okay, it's very possible. It's the same clouds. And we'll be caught up in the same way. Now, the reason I'm not against that, you understand that Brother Branham categorically mentioned these flying saucers. And he said, they'll pick you up one of these days. And they're clouds of light. See? So, that's kind of what I would think we're looking at. It could be just a phenomenon to the world. The world never saw those angels and saw Christ amongst them. He didn't see the one with the long wig, you know. They didn't see it. It actually, the photographer caught it to a degree. You know, wasn't the world's best, but pretty good, though. So that's pretty well what I'd say there at this time, Dave. There will be real clouds, but don't be confused. There's clouds of glory, too. And he was appearing on the scene back on Luther's Day, starting with a cloud of glory. And his brother Branham said, oh, what will this glory bring forth? That's where you got to go to the showbread. And the Shekinah glory, behind the curtain, becoming a part of it. That glory goes into immortality, bringing about a resurrection. And so that's kind of the clouds I like to get all strung out in. More than the other, because I figure they'll just work automatic when the time comes. But this is something you and I sort of work on. Not pretty well. I think that's about the best I can say on that. They're real clouds. It's more than likely it's just what we saw already in our hour. And they look just like clouds of the apostles, because they didn't have telescopes either. And if they had, they wouldn't have known it. But I'll tell you one thing, they knew he was up there in them. So behold, he cometh with the clouds. Also every eye shall see him. And I'll tell you that every eye seeing him is narrowing down. There are a lot of people seeing him. We have seen him in his glory. Okay, I think that's about what I can do on that until something else comes up. Nothing else strikes my mind. Anything else? Anybody else got a question? Don't all talk at once. What's the question? What were you talking about at home?
No, my wife said she wanted to comment on angels.
On angels? Oh, I tell you, I don't know that I can do too much about that for this reason. God made it. Cherubim, and he made archangels, and he made evidently hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of angels. And according to Milton, which Brother Branham endorses from some scripture, 30 of the angels fell. But he also mentions that every one of us have an angel, beholding the Father's face. And he said that is a spirit. And here's where I get plumb lost. He talks about a woman has a baby, that angel, that spirit is there waiting to take on a body. And all those things I don't understand. I'm sorry, I looked at it, but I just don't understand. I haven't had the I haven't had the nerve to look into it. Third not fall, and they are all some part of the redeemed or the election somewhere down the line. You know, like there's number one election, which are all in Christ, New Jerusalem, foreknown, and they're the other part, which are the virgins, you know, cut out of the cloth, but they're the same cloth. Come up in the second resurrection, and we get into all of that. Say, well, now if one third fell, and they're going to be destroyed. These two-thirds that didn't fall, they took on bodies. How many are there? Well, up to date, I'd say 20 billion. If that many are going to come from the second resurrection. So I say, let's say there's 20 billion people from the time that Adam came on the earth, And all right, one third of those then are serpent seed. So okay, now we've got 6 2/3 billions, and we now then have 13 1/3 billion of the good ones. See, I don't know where my thinking would go a million different ways, and I'm not prepared to do too much about it. I'm not. How many angels were left in heaven to say holy, holy, holy? I just tell you, I'm laughing in my ignorance. I can't tell you. I don't understand. See, brother, sometimes Brother Branham has different thoughts in mind than we do, and all I can do is to work from my own thinking till I can get his thinking. And my thinking just says, hey, I end up without knowing anything much about angels. Well, I understand each one has a guardian angel, too, in the sense of the word. But I can't say much. I just don't know too much. Billy Graham wrote a book on it, but I'm not willing to take his as anything which is too creditable. But I wouldn't say he's wrong. Then there's bad angels, spirits, and things like that, because an angel is a spirit. I wish I had that a little better, but I don't. Anybody else? Well, he categorically said that the bride had everything she needed under the seven seals to put her in a rapture. So we know the rapturing faith, which was very much on his mind, as greatly missing, categorically as to its magnitude, that would bring about a rapture. Because he would say, we've hardly enough faith for a healing. So, he said, we don't have the faith for a rapture. Well, I'll put it this way. Since faith is a revelation, and in one place he did say the rapture was a revelation, it would be my opinion, or my thoughts on what he said, that until the revelation under the seven seals, particularly the seven thunders, the great mysteries, become dynamic to us, there will not be enough of the definitive positioning of each person through a true divine revelation as being a part of that rapture to take her off the ground. Now that's what I believe he had in mind right there. But I believe it's right here. And I believe one of the great keys is the constant speaking, pondering, examining, exploring, and finally understanding through these processes, moved upon by the Holy Ghost. That brings us to this place where there is a constant progression toward the rapture. His brother Branham said Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. And I think at that particular instance he was referring to Enoch's progressive revelation and oneness with him. So it was like a little kid said one day, Enoch and God were walking, and Enoch got so close to God's house, God said, Enoch, why don't you just come over to my house? It's too far back to yours. I think spiritually speaking, this is what we have in mind concerning the faith that's going to put us in the rapture. I don't believe that faith per se, which I use in the terms of the denominations, where they constantly quote, especially Pentecostals, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll move mountains. Say to this mountain, be thou moved. But you know, when it came to Brother Branham, and the faith that moved mountains, which was in the procurement of squirrels through creation. That wasn't anybody sitting there huffing and puffing and pulling himself up to a position in faith by his bootstraps or anything he had on his own. It was all in the dynamism of God. So what I'm looking at here then is not anything that you might think I'm looking at in the sense of we building our faith up ourselves as though we had ability to do it. It is all here now. And I think lying in the presence of the Son, and which would have more to do with going to His Word and believing it and watching it, giving it credibility in our lives, knowing that there's no place else to turn, knowing that the end, we shall not perish with the wicked, knowing these things, standing on them. I believe what He is doing as these revelations come, it is solidly cementing huge chunks of faith together until it's all together from the seven seals, the seven thunders, and we'll find ourselves of one mind, and we'll find ourselves getting out of here. But it's going to be a complete revelation. It's going to be something that God is doing. It's going to be something that's going to be done to God's elect. I just don't see too much of man in here at all. I think that's why Brother Branham said, lie in the sun and ripen. Now, ripening, he said, you're green. And what it means, there's a maturity of character. Now, when he used the word green, he was on good Bible grounds from Romans, the 5th chapter. If you want to just take a look at it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, that's endurance, and endurance, character. Or maturity. And maturity, that's your ripeness, brings you to this expectation, making you to know that you're part of it. Remember, like a couple of years ago, I used this one night. Romans 5. The tapes are still around, where I worked on this one night to show you that this is the very hour in which we live. See, to me, everything 2 years ago became a little more than two years became absolutely pertinent to this hour. I don't see anything here that's not pertinent. And once you see this message, that's all you'll see. Everything else, well, you just goes by until it relates to the message. But there is having been justified and now knowing that the bride is justified, that you didn't sin, we are now moving into those experiences. And believe me, I know we don't like them. Of course, I say a lot of my trouble is myself. People just wouldn't throw spitballs. They wouldn't get them thrown back with a whole lot more on it. That's just the whole trouble. That's why people don't like me saying things I do. I don't particularly like it myself. I'm not proud of it. But that's one of my shortcomings. Of course, when I go, that'll be one of their happy goings. But I tell you, I haven't lied. Or have I vaunted myself? I haven't told you people how much money I left at a good job to come to this little place. Would you like to know how much I could make on the road if I made in the road day and night? I don't know much myself, but there wouldn't be one person here worth what I'm worth if I stood in the road. So you see, I'm really sacrificing to stay home. So I must be a wonderful guy. I hope you realize that. You see, that's the kind of talk I get around the country. Oh, these wonderful guys. You know something? I'm waiting for the day he comes if I get burnt past a crisp. And I found I've had nothing after all. At least I will see somebody who has got something. That's how my heart longs for reality. Oh, sure, it won't be fun. I'm not saying it's going to be fun. But I'm going to tell you something. There are too many people, even this message so-called, who don't realize what we are talking about. In this hour, I'm only beginning to realize what I saw in Brother Branham and could never understand why that man would talk about God like. I can look at that Bible, look at it. Black, Morocco leather, pinskin seal, India paper. God was so rude to that man. There's nothing about that fellow was a ham actor. I know a lot of preachers, they're evangelists, the worst, they're ham actors. As soon as they get in the restaurant, they raise their voices to convince anybody they're born again, everybody else to be born again. You can see I got as much use of that as I have for trying to walk on my hands in Easter room. I don't believe in ham acting. At times I know we get pretty cruddy. I never said we didn't. But ham acting is out. William Branham was not a ham actor. I was around that man too much. That man had reality. And his reality didn't say, look at me. My father was a great person. And my mother was the princess of an Indian tribe. Now, she was like as wild as an Indian, because she was part Indian. Why did Brother Branham ever say that he was descended from Irish kings? Kinks, maybe. Drunken ancestors. Why, he said, I was going to be a skunk skinner. Look at me, boys. I'd have the great job, skunk skinning. I don't understand these preachers that talk to how wonderful they are and what great jobs they left. I kind of wish they hadn't. I'm not going to say, Lord, forgive me either until he makes me. I don't think I need to say, Lord, forgive me. Maybe I got nothing to say about it. Maybe they'll wish they hadn't. That's maybe the more truth of it. Nah, no big shots. That's one thing I like about this message. There's only one holy one, that's the Holy Ghost. There's only one big one, and that's that great big God. I saw him in a vision, just outlined in a vision, like at the Ophany, come on down. Believe me, I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, if you want to know how big the world is, it's about the size of that little, what do you call him right there, that chimney. Now you see a giant. Look, maybe 60 feet tall with just feet. Well, that the world was just big enough for the feet. In a, I saw in a vision years and years ago, the mighty one come down, dressed with the robe all the way down. Didn't see flames of fire, just saw the long hair. I don't remember it was white or what it was. I want to tell you something, brother. There ain't no big ones when you see him. You know, I think all this talk about Bigfoot too. And Sasquatch and all those things, and I thought that there's some big stuff there in the bush. I think that's all indicative of this hour. The Great One is here. The Great One is here, and they don't want to recognize it. Man, I preach this all the time, and I don't do it justice, and I don't recognize it. I admit it. I'm carnal as all get up. But I shudder to think a man that doesn't even recognize what is going on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're right. But I sure don't believe they're right. I believe we're 100% right. Any more questions? Time runs out. Your faith will be there when it's time to go. Don't worry. You'll have everything you need. Remember, faith that moves mountains is a mustard seed. Jesus said, though you have faith, a grain of mustard seed. He said, say this mountain. Turned right around, Paul said, though I have faith to move a mountain. All faith, and teeny faith, big faith, any faith, is faith. And the faith for the resurrection and the rapture is rapturing faith. It is not healing faith. Brother Brand didn't say it was healing faith. He said it's a rapturing faith. So don't worry. It'll be there when you need it. Yeah. You won't have to worry about trying to make your own ladder, brother, sister. No. The former ladder rain is just what it is, like rain coming down upon the grass. Okay, time's going now. You haven't got too much time left. You want to get a question in? Well, because he hadn't gone up. He had to lead him up. Yeah, but only the bride will. Evidently, Brother Branham makes comments. I think three explicit places on the tapes where he mentions seeing the resurrected saints. And my own conclusion is, on what he was saying, is that only the bride will see them. Because he said, once you see them, a sweep will go over you. Unless the others see them before we do, which I doubt. I believe that the resurrected saints will be seen by the people, and they will be walking the streets. And he said, if they come to your door, open the door and let them in. In other words, you know, slam the door and say, hey, if you're a resurrected body, you know, come through this door. They could go through a mountain of lead 50 miles wide. Quicker than you could think or bat your eye. So they could come through, but they're just like human beings. So perhaps there is a bit where they might be seen by somebody outside the bride, but my own understanding is from what he taught that the bride will see him. And They did walk the streets because Christ had not gone up himself. They were with the living. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. You might even fry him a meal. Give him a fish cake or something. Brother Brand said Jesus ate his fish sandwich. That answered my question. I forgot he said it, so I kept pondering it. Was there any place where Brother Branham said when Jesus made the fish on the fire that he ate any? And then I was talking to your brother, and he said, yeah, he said he ate a fish sandwich. I said, that's good. Then next thing I knew, I thought of myself. I just thought the other day again, but I can't remember where I saw it. My memory's no good. Long as I know what was said, I don't much care where it was said. But I don't know. I don't, but Brother Branham did say if you knew the Lord was coming tomorrow and you're pounding nails, you'd pounding nails, you'd be doing something. So that lets you out there. There'll be people will be doing things. Just what we'll all be doing, I don't know. But in that particular time, I don't know. I've often thought myself that during that time where the resurrection could last a minimum of 30 days, 30, 40 days, because remember, Jesus was not 40 days with them, the possibility because of the manifestation of the sons of God, the fullness is in the resurrection. There could be certain things that apply at that time. But Brother Branham did say, don't look for big things. That's under the two witnesses. So I couldn't say what will be done. I refrain very much. All I know is he did say that you'll have the word nor the truth, or you'll keep still. I think myself that that both precedes and goes into the resurrection, but I don't know. It's just something I'm looking at. Don? There's a possibility, as I've said here, that Brother Branham said you talk about departed loved one that's born again, you know, real Christian, and you talk, he said, you feel a sweet spirit in the room. He said, that's the spirit of that person. I think that maybe Sadhu Sundar Singh said something along the same line, that they're able to see and to be amongst us. Because remember, he said, heaven is just a dimension. You're going to find, he said, everything's a dimension, and what was 150 million light years away is merely going in a circle. All things are in dimension. So they could be passing through this room. And that's very true. That's why it's so good to be thinking upon those that are gone before, the real Christians, the real men of God, Brother Branham, Brother Bosworth, fine men of God that we've known and know about, old timers that preceded them. Talk about them, but above all, talk about the Lord. But keep in mind them with the Lord because they're part of Him. They're in His thoughts. They form part of that great body that's going to be in the New Jerusalem. And that would be a great blessing, I think, at all times. But remember, still remember this, though. No matter how much you think about any sweet person that's gone on, that's merely incidental to thinking of the sweet person that's going to take us on. Because I tell you, that anything else to me is could go a little dangerous. The devil just like to slip in any time, any place he can. Keep in balance. Keep in balance. Sure, I wouldn't be surprised in a meeting when we talk about Brother Branham, and I guess maybe I have done more in a sense of the word of laying out in Scripture who he is than anybody living. Maybe anybody who ever will live. And it's possible, I don't know. From when he was on earth, that was certainly the truth. And it's possible, I say, as we talk about him and bring out all these things in Scripture concerning him, the prophet, the servant of God, that both the Spirit, the Christ himself in spirit form and his prophet in spirit form could be here. I wouldn't say they were. I wouldn't say they weren't. Might as well believe for the best. Don't say we got it, but. And don't say we got it at the exclusion of anybody else either. Just say possibility that could be here. See, I don't have any problem with the presence of God in the bride. To me, in my mind, I see a bride on this earth that's purely compacted as though she were in one place. And yet she can be thousands of miles apart. But I see her as one. And I see him in the midst of her as though she was holding hands with each one. And this is in the person of Christ I see it. I do not see it as a modicum or a portion of his spirit in each of us, and we scattered across the millions of acres of land on this earth. No way. I see a bride like a pyramid or some form, and in my mind I see him in her midst, and I just feel very happy about it. I have a very definitive revelation. Very, very, very strong definitive understanding. A concrete what I'm dealing with. And I don't know how it strikes you. I hope you have the same understanding I have, because it sure won't hurt you. Do you good. It makes it very real to just know. Yeah.
Now the prophet said that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. In other words, God spoke that. In other words, it happened.
From before.
Yeah, all right. Now, is this same, I don't know how to say this, the idea across the way I'm thinking about it. Would that same relationship be as we find out more about this resurrection?
Yeah, it's all foreknowledge. Look, everything is foreknowledge. See, the major component of God, contrary to most people, is not power, it's wisdom. Omniscience and omnipotence. And of the two, omniscience is far superior to omnipotence. Quote the fact of a skinny 4'6" runt throw a 280-pound man across the room. All he's got to know is leverage. And he's gone. Quote, the fella down in Florida that died a derelict because his girlfriend killed him, and yet he understood the secret of the pyramids, if anybody did, from this account, if this is how the pyramids were built. He used pulleys and pieces of string, and he could move rocks weighing many, many tons around his garden with just his finger. And he would tell nobody how it was done, and he died with nobody knowing it. So, wisdom, which is the, of which God is the great reservoir. He is the sole owner of wisdom. Nobody else. That's by far, the most appropriate thing to look at, and by far the greatest attribute that God has when you're going to compare attributes of the original division, power and wisdom, omniscience and omnipotence. See? Now, here's where God foreknew. And it was in his omnipotence that he brought foreknowledge into predestination. But he used election. Because he was dealing with men, and at this point all we really know of God, per wisdom, is to see his wisdom in nature, and that's been messed with. Badly messed with. By the enemy. The earth is no longer perfect, it's getting completely void and chaotic again. So, seeing God in his wisdom, manifestly through carnal eyeballs is, very second rate. But when you go into redemption and you begin seeing wisdom so that you come into elections, callings, predestinations, all those things, then you begin to see his wisdom all the more clearly and appreciate it all the more. But there's no doubt about it. Slain before the foundation of the world is no more to be believed than the resurrections from before the foundation of the world. Because we're dealing with the omniscience, the wisdom of God. It was all in there. Even before that little light, the Logos went out, moving around, starting to form. So that God by His Spirit could begin to reach out and move and form. And from that point on, when the original creation, which was that light coming out, that original creation from it, everything else began moving out of it. Because that was the start. I have got everything assembled. I'm now moving into the realm of complete materialization, manifestation. Revelation, complete with that with which I want to have spiritual fellowship, communion, make myself known. Sure, it was all known back there. There wasn't anything that wasn't from before the foundation. Nobody was one single solitary thing that wasn't before the foundation. His brother Branham said he knows how many fleas there would be and how many times he'd bat his eye. how much tallow a flea had. Well, when you get that far down, you got a pretty fine scales. Yep, what I'd say. Foreknowledge, yep. Anything else? See, that's your Lamb's Book of Light, too. First Resurrection is Lamb's Book of Light. Not light, Lamb's Book of Light. Come again? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's your foreknowledge is your architect. First of all, brewing the idea, conceiving it. Then your predestination is where you have the material to work with. See, God created the material to work with according to his foreknowledge. The best we can do is to have material, then we get ideas about it. We work opposite. We go in the opposite direction. See, God doesn't have to. God works right from the beginning. But that's the idea. Blueprint. They're a great architect. Many more. Any? Many. Give you a little more time, we'll let you go. Yeah. Well, not known perhaps that he's cast out, but he must have been allowed down there because that creation, according to Isaiah, or is it Jeremiah? Jeremiah. I don't know. Isaiah? Let me take a look at Isaiah 45. I'm not sure that's it. I never can realize. I just can't remember things. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Well, evidently the original creation, where he could have put a man and other things that he wanted to work with, Satan got down there and evidently messed things up to the extent that God had to wipe it out. Now, Ezekiel, I never know if it's chapter 14 or 28, we'll soon find out though. Because I think both chapters have something in them. Alright, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre, says verse 12. Thou sealest up the sum of, thus said Lord God, you shall seal up some wisdom, purity, and beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone is thy covering, and Sardis is topaz. So Satan was even on earth, allowed to walk around, but he's the prince of the power of the air. And he can appear in the presence of God, evidently, at certain times. He has been able to. He's accused the brethren. And in Revelation 12, though, he's going to get cast down at the same time the bride's taken up. Now it said, verse 7, there's war in heaven. Michael the archangel fought against the dragon. Dragon fought against the angel. Prevailed not, neither is there found any place more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. He had old serpent called the devil and Satan, deceived the whole world, cast out on the earth, and his angels cast it with him. So you see, the bride is going up, Satan is cast out, and this by the way, is another step that has been taken, or is to be taken, subsequent to 1 Corinthians 15, 23, they that are Christ in his presence, then cometh the end when he shall live with the Father, the kingdom of God, even the Father. When God shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign to put all enemies under Jesus' feet. Last enemy destroyed his debt. So this is another one of those facets. That we go up, he'll be cast down. So we're becoming more and more aware of what is going on. As Brother Branham said, always glorifying God for what took place, glorifying what's going to take place, never know what's going on. I don't believe we qualify for that in the ignominious sense that Brother Branham said it. He was warning people that there should be a knowledge of what is going on, providing something's going on. Well, we believe something's going on. We believe he's here. And I don't believe he's just standing around. And I don't believe he's a yo-yo. Come down, goes up, come down, goes up, come down, goes up, we go with him. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I don't believe it. Let's just take a look at that. 1 Thessalonians 4 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Okay? He cometh with clouds. I, every hour, behold him. What the joke was that? What is that? Was just a picture. See it anyway. Didn't know what you're looking at. He said, oh my, my, that's not night. Well, you tell me the Pharisees knew what they were looking at. Sure, it's right. Makes you think, doesn't it? Man ain't too smart. Man without a revelation, like he got nothing. Man without a revelation has a false revelation. Because he can't go without thinking. All right, he come on down. Here he is in clouds. Here he was. Came down with a shout. Came down with a prophet. Prophet standing on earth. At that time, all mysteries must be revealed. At that time, the book comes together. No more jigsaw. No more cow eating grass atop a tree. As Brother Brand said, you get the picture. That which is perfect has come. People don't believe that. You know why? Because they're confused. And they're trying to figure things. You don't try to figure anything. Lie on the sun and ripen. I think the brain should ripen. The brain should ripen by being more like a screen, a projector screen, so the projector can play upon it. Just think about the word, let the word come in and fall into position. So there's a thought right there you might think about. I'm not saying that's exactly right, but I'm also saying it is right. Because that one they saw 26 miles up there came down. Surrounded by 7 messengers. And each mighty one came in the room. He was the spirit. One of the, each one, 7 spirits came on down. Angelic form, which is scriptural, swept in the room. Each day brought the word. The mighty one that was meant a lot to him was the 7 church age one. That's the one that brought, had the thunders in his hand. Great mysteries. And it was all over. There was Christ revealed. Okay, as soon as the word was brought, Christ was completely revealed to the world. Now, the question is, what is he revealed at? Now, that's a good thought. I'm not prepared to preach about me, never, I don't know. It's a thought anyway. Yep. I believe the seventh angel that came down was just the same as number one that came down, that was the one that stood there, not as Paul's theophany, although I'm not saying that couldn't be. Certainly could have been, I don't know. But I don't look it that way. I look those 7 spirits before the throne became embodied and were in a form before the throne. Maybe just portions of the word, or you want to put it, some kind of a form. Each one for each age. And they all came down and they brought the word to Brother Branham under each seal. 7 messengers with their 7 counterparts, 7 angels, 7 messages. There were 7 human messengers. Brought 7 messages, 7 angels, sent straight before the throne, brought 7 messages, outlined the whole thing, there stood Christ revealed. Yeah. Well, that's pretty hard to know for this reason. You only start with 2 men of the caliber of Paul. That's Paul and William Branham. The others, merely like Irenaeus, second church age messenger, He was under the ministry of Polycarp, who was taught by John. Well, would he, the best he could do, would be the messenger. He would have a portion of the Spirit more than any other man in the revelatory ministry, whereby he would have everything needed that so they'd be born again and come out of the ground. But he would never have, at that point, what was requisite in order to finish an age off, because all it did was bring in number two. The next had a portion for 3, 4, 5, 6. Under 7, the final portion comes in. But remember, the number 7 cannot be final and perfect until the others have come in with their perfection. So when you got your 6 perfect thunders, with your 6 perfect revelations from the 7 ages, and Brother Branham's come in on top of it, making number 7, forming completely Christ in the church. Christ the revealed word. And that becomes the capstone, not the headstone. To me, the headstone is physical. We rise to meet it. We talk a capstone coming down, which is a finishing off. Like it says in Ephesians here. You see? You go to Ephesians 4, that fourth chapter, and it says here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. You see, you're growing up into the head, which is Christ. So you therefore, then the last thing then would be the head alone remains. Well, that can't stay that way. Because there's got to be a rounding off. So the head himself comes down, which is spiritual. Not physical. Here's where I disagree with my brethren that don't understand the presence of God. They think I'm teaching something I'm not teaching. if they stop listening to the tapes negatively and stop asking questions, just sit down and listen a while. They know what I'm saying. But you can't tell them anything. They right away, their mind starts flashing questions. Just question, 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 question. And they won't sit down to say, now, Lord, and get quiet until something can begin to move. Now, I do that with doctrines. I did that with the two-soul doctrine. I didn't have to worry about whether William Branham was God or not. If he'd have said he was God, I'd have been a long time gone. I'd have said, God of what? Because he won't add up. God's invisible. Even Jesus was the attributes. Brother Branham said Jesus was different from God. Sure he was different from God. God didn't have a beginning. When you talk about God indwelling him, that's a different thing entirely. So we got the head coming down. But I see that coming down with those 7 mighty messengers. Now, I don't have all the answers to that, but all I know is that's what the prophet said. He said that on the rapture tape and about 2 more tapes, he mentions. Something like I'm saying now. I'm not saying I got it perfect, but I think I understand it from what he said on the seals. Because he said the Holy Spirit swept in the room. That was on seal number 1. And then he said under the 7th seal, that was them 7 angels. I'm not so dumb I can't put 1 and 1 together. He said it was the angel, he said it was the Holy Spirit. So, did the angel bring the Holy Spirit? Was the Holy Spirit in the form of an angel? What was it? I believe the Holy Spirit was in the form of an angel. Right there, that constituted all of it. And then there stood Christ. And you didn't hear one more thing about those messengers. No way. Everything is now. There he stands. See? So I just believe he's here. And I believe the flesh of the Holy Spirit is the Word. And I believe eating, you're not feeding on a man, Brother Branham said, you're feeding on the body Word. These aren't the words of a man that Brother Branham gave us. Now, if we believe in prophet and God, then there's only one mind, that's the mind of God. There's only one mouth, that's the mouth of the prophet. There's only one word. There's only one word. That's the word of God in the one mouth, which is the mouth of the prophet. You can't go by that and give me any teaching on a prophet and God, because I've done settled that. That's over. So what I see with William Branham, I just see here he's gone. That leaves God. That leaves this living word, reality. He said, "Thus it has been spoken. Thus it will be." In other words, reality is right here. And changes are going on now. And more changes are going to come. Let the squeeze come. Let all those things come. We don't have any problem with them in the sense that we are to be given to looking at them, viewing them, pondering them, thinking these things, but we are to look at the Word, which is our inalienable right, because the Word of the Lord does not come to the prophet in order that the Word, that the prophet may have the Word. The Word of the Lord comes to the prophet in order that the people may have the Word. And the prophet eats the same manna, the same Word. He doesn't have one thing, and the people have another, any more than the preacher has one thing and the people have another. There's no big shots anywhere. If there's any big shots, I just tell you what you do, go on a diet. Because you'll be wishing you had. Just get all slimmed down from yourself, your ambitions, your desires, and your your great understanding of things, because it's only in God. Okay, let's rise at this time. I think we've got about almost an hour and a half. It's about gone. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again that we've had time to come together to discuss some things in your Word, which are upon people's hearts, Lord, and now we trust that if there are more things there, that we'll be given the opportunity to air them, to look at them, Lord, if there's any help needed. In the meantime, we thank you for these two sessions we've had. We pray, Lord, now for this following service on Sunday. May your hand be with us, Lord, leading us, guiding us, directing us, teaching us the things of God, for we are certainly wanting to be more knowledgeable than ever before. We want to show these things, Lord, that you show us, and therefore we got to call upon you, Lord, in your own good time, your own good way, to show us the things that the people would be benefited thereby to hear. Brother Branham often said, looking to you, Lord, looking at the Word, I wonder, he would say, what would do the people good? And this is what we have in mind, Lord, also. What would do the people good? How can we help them? We know that they need help. So, Father, we open our hearts and ask you and say, what do the people need? Where can we help them, Lord? And we just pray this shall be what will be coming forth on Sunday. Now bless your people, Lord. Be with those who go, those who stay. Grant, Lord God, your blessing in a wonderful way upon all of us. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, is the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. Okay, sing Take the Name of Jesus with you. Going to start that for us, Dean?